All right, good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you again to the 19th Annual Renewable Energy Institute. And as a Midwesterner, I'd really like to thank the Texans for keeping the weather mild this year, and we don't have a sheet of ice on the ground. Starting off our session, as usual, it's my pleasure to introduce you to my partner, Keith Martin. Keith is a deal lawyer in the Washington office of Norton Rose Fulbright, who's helped lead the project finance group in our firm for more than 20 years. The group did $191 billion in project financings and closed 448 significant transactions in the last 4 years. The prestigious Chambers Directory gives Keith its sole star ranking among the U.S. renewable energy lawyers. And he's worked for 204 companies last year on numerous transactions. He also lobbies the U.S. Treasury and Congress on policy issues. So it's my pleasure to welcome Keith for the first two sessions.
Okay, we are facing the presidential election that most people don't want, according to the polls. I wish it were so easy just to reboot. I remember the old days with computers when whenever you called the help desk, the first question was, did you reboot? So we've moved beyond that for computers. Apparently we haven't for crystal balls. I'm going to cover a lot of developments in the market. If you have questions, we will take some from the floor. I don't know if you can facilitate that. There are also microphones out here. So many people have been asking whether the Inflation Reduction Act could be repealed if Trump is elected president. The panel right after this will address this. We're lucky to have a Heritage Foundation expert who was helped in preparing the day or the first 180-day agenda for the Trump campaign on energy. So we'll ask her some of these questions. But to me, it looks like Trump cannot get an effective majority in the Senate. He needs at least 60 votes. There are 49 Republicans currently. There is no projection that shows the Republicans picking up 11 seats. The real threat to the Inflation Reduction Act is something called budget reconciliation. That's how the Democrats put the bill through the Senate in the first place. Normally, bills cannot clear the Senate without 60 votes, at least controversial measures, but the majority party can put through one bill each year called a budget reconciliation bill with a majority vote. You may remember the Democrats struggled to get to 50 so that Kamala Harris could cast the tie vote, the winning vote. This is the one threat to the Inflation Reduction Act next year. Budget reconciliation is not a quick process. The Republicans would have to pass a budget first with reconciliation instructions to both houses to either increase taxes or reduce spending to meet budget targets. If it looks by late summer like Trump will win, look for developers to start thinking about signing binding contracts. Traditionally, when Congress has scaled back any incentives, it has grandfathered people who are locked into investments based on existing incentives. Congress is working on a tax extenders bill. It cleared the House Tax Writing Committee about a month ago by a 40-3 vote, but it has run into controversy. It's not clear how strong the support is from Senate and House leaders, and also the minority party in both houses taking pot shots at it. The Wall Street Journal editorialized against it earlier this week. Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, said last night that they are taking a whip count and will hope to bring the bill up on the House floor this week. Both the Democrats and Republicans are counting votes. It looks like there will be somewhere between 325 and 350 votes in a House with 435 members. If it can clear with a large vote, then that gives it a better prospect in the Senate. The Senate hasn't decided what it wants to do with it or whether it wants to send it to committee and mark it up. That would delay things. All of this is being played out while people are filing tax returns many of the provisions of this bill are retroactive to last year.